Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached America Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, and we will be joined by our guest, Selena Lindsay, who comes with a large background. Okay, Selena's on the line right now, so Selena, just about 30 seconds, let the audience know a little bit about yourself.
Good evening, all. My name is Selena Lindsay, and primarily I'm a retired CPA, and currently I'm an entrepreneur doing various different tasks in transportation, also within the tax industry, real estate, and the primary other main thing that I do is try to use some of what I've learned over these long years by running four or five different nonprofits and partnering with probably another 10 or 15, and I sit on the board of at least, I'd say, 30 or 40. In doing that, we try to bring information to the public, which we think is important because the entire idea is to do something to help those that cannot help themselves. We'll talk a little bit about some of these nonprofits and various different things at the end of the show.
Yes. So stay tuned, and so at the end of the show, have your paper and pencil ready. Anyway, tonight we're talking about opioids, and what they do know, it can kill. 90 people a day die, or it's really a little bit over that, a day die from opioid overdose. And some of this is not just heroin and the other synthetic opioids. It's also the ones that the doctors are prescribing. And they said since 2015 until now, the death has reached at epidemic levels in the United States. They know something like, and this, I'm not sure when they started recording everything, but in 2015, 33,000 deaths was due to opioid overdose, and then this includes prescription opioids that's been prescribed to the patients. And some of that is misuse. And then the pharmaceutical companies in the beginning, this started in like the 1990s, felt opioids did not pose a risk of a person becoming addicted to the medication. Because I also mentioned who could possibly become addicted to a painkiller. My mom did. You couldn't get her off of Vicodin, could not get her off at all. She became addicted to it. Even when they tried to switch, they would go ahead and let her have it because she would say nothing else worked. So she totally, and see, back then, they really didn't have, the numbers weren't in, but they're in now. And so we've reached a crisis situation. So we're going to be talking about that, you know. What can be done to stop the epidemic? Are the doctors responsible for giving out too many opioid drugs to their patients? Who told the doctors that the opioids were not addicting? Was it a lie spread by the doctors or to the doctors? So what can be done to change this crisis? So join us tonight. I'm your host, Paulette Young. And our guest is Selena Lindsay as we explore the answer to this crisis. If you want to call in and you want to join in the conversation, you would dial 858-769-4936 and press 1. And then you'll be on the air. Or you can dial that number 858-769-4936 and just listen to the conversation. Either way, it's a lot of valuable information that I'm being given now. I know for a fact in one of the programs that's recognized here in the state of California for CPR first aid, they also included for first aid responders to know what to do if you suspect an opioid overdose. Because if the heart attack is due to opioids, unless you give them the medicine to counteract what took place, they won't won't survive at all. Okay. Go ahead, Selena. I know you have a lot to say. So go ahead.
Well, I think the one of the kind of the first things, other than talking about the fact that it will kill them at its extreme, is to talk about basically what are some of these opioids that we're talking about, because sometimes people don't even understand what we're talking about. And so I'm going to name a few.
Okay.
Paulette named Vicodin, and another common one would be morphine.
Don't take the morphine
hydrocone.
Away.
Yeah, hydrocone.
Don't take
hydronicone.
That out. Don't take that out. Are you kidding?
And
ah!
The next question would be, how is this administrated? Usually the pills, but there's some people that can't tolerate them, so they come in. They can be retically inserted. You can have a shot, and you can also take it intravenously.
Oh, I didn't know you could put it up. I didn't know that one. Ooh.
Yes, ma'am. And
why,
so...
they're acting?
Exactly. And usually, opioids are mostly painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the major reasons that people get addicted to it, because they think that once the pain is so-called gone, they don't. Even when the pain is gone, they get addicted to the other effects that some of these things have upon the body. But in the middle of all of that, what is it really doing? In the first place, if it's pain, it affects sensors in your body so that you're not feeling the pain. The pain is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go anywhere. And the more you kill these sensors, then they don't work as effectively. And some of them actually, in a sense, get addicted to the drug. It wants more.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to create a situation where it takes more and more of it for you to get that same sensation. And it's sort of like, in a sense, talking about a primary painkiller, which is used especially during wartime, heroin, which is one of the reasons that a lot of our soldiers come back totally addicted, because they're taking morphine or heroin due to things that happen out in the field. And they lose a leg, an arm, or whatever the situation may be, and they're taking these things as a painkiller. And especially with heroin, you got to have more of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you get it pharmaceutically, then it's measured. But what begins to happen is, like a lot of people, they begin to, because I know in a neighborhood that I frequent, Vicodin costs you $10 a pill.
Wow.
This is not, these opioids are not cheap. And
wow,
what's going on in the United States today, it is such an outrage with these things that even within our Medicare system and all of the various different HMOs, they're changing the way they do business, because the practice of physicians to give out these things. And I'm sure most of you that really do have pain, you're having a hard time getting that physician to continue to write that prescription, because they have really cracked the whip. And, of course, our dear president 2 weeks ago stood up and said all of the opioids which are getting into our country, of course, through the mail and mail order, that he's about to put a stop to it, because and he uses the excuse that which is true to a marked degree, that they're not regulated, so how much of whatever is in these things is not regulated, and it creates a lot of the problems that we're seeing with people and oversaturating our system, primarily the emergency room, which having overdoses.
Wow.
And our president also is, as far as I'm concerned, because I always look at the accounting aspect, is trying to preserve, of course, a lot of those people in his cabinet. These are investors and stockholders of the pharmaceutical markets, which these huge companies like Parker and all of the rest of the companies that Baker's, all the rest of these companies that make these drugs. And so how do you keep those businesses stable if the internet has fluctuated the business and you don't even need a prescription, just order you something?
Wow. But if you stop the
you
mail order.
You don't need a prescription to get these things. Mail order.
If we can only buy it from our pharmaceuticals here, they're going to drive the prices up.
Well, that's another thing. Like I said, he's trying to preserve. And even certain kinds of pills that are utilized for one thing, such as blood pressure pills, they have in them, another reason that these opioids are commonly used is because they have in them components that are not used prospectively the way they were designed. They're new, what we call designer chemicals in the streets, such as crystal meth and other kinds of things that can be manufactured by, you know, tossing a few of these things in here. I'm sure those of you that go to the Walgreens and stores like this, you find that you can't just put your hand up there and get a box of Robitussin anymore.
No, you sure can't.
You know, and any of the common things such as contact, you can't buy that stuff no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has in it...
So you're a patient. Yes. Do you think you should have been told ahead of time that this opioid can be addicting? That the patient...
Basically, they feel that they have told you because they feel that when it's purchased legally, that, of course, you know, when you go to the legal pharmacy, the guy comes to the counter and asks you, have you ever had the drug before? And then he gets to explain to you how to take it. That's what happens when we go to our HMO, such as Kaiser or any of these other ones that they have. You know, the person stands at the counter and explains to you how you're supposed to take it. And they generally tell you that these are extremely addictive and that you're going to have a prescription the next time before you get that thing refilled.
I'll be honest with you. When I've been given painkillers that I end up not taking at all, I've never been told that it can be addicting. I don't know if others are out there that's had similar things. I've never been told. I've been prescribed Vicodin. I never took it. But I never was told that it can be addicting.
Well, they usually do, and they also give you, when you pick up their prescription, it comes with a piece of paper from Bayer or whoever it is that manufactured it, and it tells you what the indications and the contraindications for that drug is.
Yeah.
And then it also tells you the side effects and then what you should do and when you should take it, whether you should take it with food or without food.
Yeah, but I never remember reading something saying, and this medication is addicting. See your doctor. I mean, simple terms.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
One of the main things I don't like that I see them do it very often, I find it a little funny but a little disgusting too. They'll give out pain medication, which usually doctors should pay attention as to how much you weigh, because obviously you can't sedate an elephant with the same thing you want to sedate the cat with. It's just not going to work. And the other one is they give out what I call sort of like what we see in the pediatrician arena when people have a cold. Everybody gets the pink syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding the same thing happens with opioids. Everybody gets the same prescription for Vicodin. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. You got it.
You know, and how is that going to work if you weigh 250 pounds and then and vice versa? How does it work when it's working on a person that weighs 100 pounds? The person that's 100 pounds is definitely overdosed, and the person that weighs more than that ain't got enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just
that. And that's where the misuse of the medication comes in. Pain don't go away. I've seen people do that. They'll tell, oh, I take double the amount. I said, did your doctor tell you to do that? No. I just got to get rid of the pain. And that's where the overdose comes in, because it's going to back up in your system, filtering out because you got too much.
And some of that, while we're there, we can talk about some of those things, because primarily I'll name also a few things that opioids do to you, such as sedation, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, constipation, physical dependence, respiratory depression, and, of course, the big one, addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are nothing to play with.
No, they're not.
And especially when they get to respiratory depression.
Right.
That is, in real simple language, it stops you or slows down and stops you from breathing.
Yes, like the morphine.
That's right.
You know, that's where you got that stuff in your system. You don't stop breathing. Because it does.
Yeah, and the bottom line is called heart attack, which is an arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had just a little bit too much, and it's causing real complications. And it's a very difficult thing to deal with, because if they happen to get to you in time enough and mm-hmm. you can't talk for yourself, the biggest problem is trying to figure out what is it you had, you know, what's causing this. And it's in your system, it's in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they're trying to give you something to speed you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're trying to give you something to speed you up, and your body is steadily slowing down.
That's her friend, Selena. She called in, I guess, to give her opinion.
Hello, this is American Health Crisis. You're listening to Sleep Blends. This is your host, Paulette Young. We have someone calling from the 213. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're welcome.
You're asking me to join in the conversation.
Or you can listen.
She doesn't know my number, though.
Okay, I know your voice. Sounds like Corey. Is it? Oh, she hung up.
Wow.
So, I didn't know if she was going to talk or not. She probably would have had a lot to say. She can still hear us. But anyway, go ahead.
So, all of these things, when you take these kinds of drugs and it basically puts your body into a tailspin. Everything that your body is supposed to be doing live and well, it just slows down. I mean, you have a serious situation when you take opioids and now you can't even go to the bathroom. Your body is retaining waste material. And if you think this is not a problem, it's a big problem. When your body cannot release toxins. And it withholds these toxins, then you're going to be a sick person because it begins to impede everything. Now your liver, your pancreas, everything which is designed on your body does not properly function.
Who do you think should carry the responsibility for, you know, the opioid epidemic? Where should we put the blame? On the person that's taking the medicine or the doctor that's prescribing it?
Well, it has to start at the gate. It starts with prescription, which they've now finally starting to really crack the whip on the distribution and to slow it down. Second instance is the people themselves, making them aware, just like you said, of any other prescription as to what the prescription really does. Some people, if they were really aware of what they're taking, they wouldn't take it. They would ask for something that is not that does that would have would not have the effect that opioids have. And the other part of the reason that some doctors prescribe them because it's a money making business.
We, you know, we've come from the 90s till now we're in 2017. Now the numbers are all in. Doctors do know that if they were, at least from the things I've read so far, like they didn't know that it was. Now they do know that it's a issue. Do you think they should have better control on the amounts they give out, or do you think they want it?
I believe they need to do all those things. They need to have better control on the amount they give out. They need to have better control. They need to utilize internal structures as to what qualifies. They need to redo that because they're still operating from the James Brown century. You know, they're 20, 30 years behind the flag. And they need to... as I stated before, pay more attention as to the weight of these people because we're living in a society where people weigh more. And so they're giving out, first of all, ineffective things, which is some of the reasons that people keep, they pile on one pill after another because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they overdose themselves.
So
they need to be more.
Do you think there's enough education given to the patients, especially the ones that end up overdosing, where they understand what they're. Because I'm not convinced that they're overdosing on purpose.
Some of them are. They're not overdosing necessarily on purpose. They're overdosing because of the high, that it feels good.
Oh, okay.
And they enjoy it.
Now, the high.
Yeah, it's like
taking the medicine.
Right. If you can imagine that most opioids create an effect that's just like heroin or morphine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on a high, and they like it. And people are gullible. They believe they can control it, and that they're in control when they're like that.
I wondered, is it the high or is it the lack of having the pain?
Well, first of all, a lot of people that take it don't have pain.
Oh.
It smells better. I wipe it. All right. Yeah, I wash it. I wipe it.
I mean, it's even like you said, your mother, you know, at a point, you don't have pain. You just like taking it.
Anyone on the line, you can jump in at any time if you want to share any information or ask any questions. This is Paulette Young speaking. You're listening to Selena Lindsay, and you're on
America. Yes, I've been listening. I've been listening, and I find this show very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very worried about our young generation. They are dying from the opioid overdose, the use.
Yes, that's why I keep wondering, is there enough education where there's understanding? I'm not convinced that on purpose people are taking too much and they knew that they took too much and it would kill them. Or is it the other way around? They took too much not understanding that if you're not going to do what the doctor said that to do, a lot of people that don't, that it's going to cost you your life.
Wow.
I say that because...
Well, basically, a lot of young people get into it because it's so easy to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something like, again, I said that they have to put forth a stronger effort at making it... I mean, come on. It doesn't matter what your age is. You just find what you want on the Internet and order it. They deliver it to your post office box.
Well,
wow.
That's
going to
stop. Well,
I know you don't turn nothing down with your collar.
Mail order things because
and think about it. Think about a young man that can order this stuff And these fields are so small. They're not like, this is not like carrying a brick of weed to high school. Mm-hmm. How much of this stuff can you carry in your wallet and make $300? At $10 a pill.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. And Center of Disease Control did report that here in the United States, it's costing us $78.5 billion a year is being spent because of the misuse of opioids.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, see, some people don't realize that a bottle of Vicodin, which is 30 pills, that's worth $300.
Right.
Street value.
Wow.
That's all they got to do. And half the time, if their mama is taking them, all they got to do is wait for her to take her medication and take the whole bottle.
That's unfortunate.
That is so true. That is frightening.
Yeah, it is. Especially when it's costing us that type of money. And then to have more than 32,000 deaths, they estimated 90 deaths. Hey, that's a lot.
Yeah, and it comes back to the same thing I was saying before. Here you go with a kid that's in high school that weighs 100 pounds taking something that was designed for somebody 200 pounds.
Yes.
Okay, so how are we going to stop it? Donald Trump plans to stop the mail order, so stop it from coming in, because order through the mail, the quality.
Well, mail specifically is mandated by, number one, the post office, postmaster general. They need to utilize anything, and they're getting hard to recognize because, of course, certain private things that people order, such as sexual toys and things like this, it comes in a plain brown wrap. But what they need to do is they need to, and don't get me wrong, Kaiser and the rest of them, they try to cut down their traffic and cut down their costs by not having people coming there to redo their prescription. They refill it and send it to them in the mail.
Yeah. And in fact, they a lot of the clinics, including Kaiser, they fixed it that instead of you reordering.
Yeah, so basically what I'm saying is it's not like they can put an X-ray machine in the post office and say, okay, take that off the conveyor because it's got pills in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't know where these pills came from or who that is. But what they can do is anything that's coming from a foreign country or coming from out of the United States, they need to scrutinize that stuff more before they let it fly through because that's where it's coming from. Why it's cheap.
Right.
You know, pills coming in here from Australia, New Zealand, Britain, England, all these different kind of places where this type of scrutiny is not placed on these opioids. And coming from the East, Asia, which is the other word called opium kingdom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's not leave out Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but even if you stop mail orders, do they think that's an answer?
That's only one avenue. They need to stop themselves. They need higher regulatory procedures in terms of, first of all, most doctors do not work as a single physician anymore. There's almost no such thing as going down on the corner and there's Dr. Rogers at his office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doctors now work in groups and packs and for huge HMOs. That's the way they work. And period. the prescription that they prescribe comes from the pharmacy. That's where the warehouse is. The pharmacy person becomes they are the gate to the warehouse of these pills. And so that, to me, is the number one place to start regulations. Regulations as to what comes into that pharmacy, how many pills, and how they're being distributed, and they need to have more regulations on how that is done so that you don't have 50 tons of stuff coming out of this one particular pharmacy, and make them accountable for how that stuff is distributed and who is distributed to it should go onto a separate list. And if certain doctors are doing it, make them accountable to the institution which they work for and put the feds on top of it because it should be higher regulation on how this stuff moves from that warehouse.
Yeah.
And also at the counter. This, what you were saying, Paulette, is it needs to be, you need to make that patient sign that we told you this is addictive.
Yeah, because
put your thumbprint. Put your thumbprint on the machine. We told you this is addictive. And we told you that. How many pills do you take? Two a day.
Even simple things like if you have to follow, take it the way I prescribe it. Anything else can be deadly. I don't think people understand that.
People in the first place that are abusive to the system, they don't care. They only want one thing, get high.
Mm.
People that are, you tell me, you know, if you talk to five people, this is a concern to us. Four of them are going to tell you, what's your problem? That's their business. They want to take it, what's your problem with it?
So you're saying in order to help this or to stop the epidemic, be more accountability on the physician's part.
Exactly. We need accountability where it starts.
Yeah.
Because the people aren't just going to get it themselves out of their closet at home.
That's true.
You know, and kids that are getting them, you know,
you mentioned that they need to sign a form saying they understand the risk.
And also a place that our president has been talking about. There's a thing called a pharmacy in Tijuana.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many guys that go to fitness, whatever, they go down there to get their testosterone and all this other kind of stuff and take their shots and whatever they do. You know, and they bring that stuff back here.
And they die.
Well, and they bring it by the suitcase. You know, it ain't just drugs that are coming out from down there. There are other things, you know, it's like, come on, marijuana's just about legal. So, you know, anybody going to pay $10 for a joint? These kids are paying $10 for a pill. And so, and like I said, if 30 pills is $300, where all can you hide them and drive right over there and go into the pharmacy, go in the bathroom and come drive right on back?
Yeah, but it's legal to pass those drugs back over here. There's no law to stop that.
Well, there are some things over there that it's not, you're supposed to declare it, but they ain't going to declare it. You know, they're not going to pay duty tax on it.
Yeah. But because it's a legal narcotic there to even, you know, that they can buy it over the counter. So,
well,
you know,
as far as I'm concerned,
how can you stop it? You can't stop it that way.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the same methods that they use to locate drugs, because they scan the car looking for weed and what have you. The dogs, they don't have no dogs at the border that are sniffing for opioids.
They have them at the airport. Now they do.
Yeah. You know, and so they need to up their game.
Mm-hmm.
And they also need to use drones for what they're good for.
Mm-hmm.
Because some things, drones and what I call facial recognition, they're using them, believe me. But they just need to point the cameras and point all of these different systemic systems that they have in directions. When you see an American or a person that crossed the border as an American going into these pharmacies, it's just like the liquor store. When I go into the liquor store, the cop car is sitting in the parking lot. If I come out of the liquor store and sit in my car and drink that bottle and drive out that parking lot, they stop me. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who it is. If it's Mickey Mouse that goes into that pharmacy and drive what they and get what they get, and then come out of that pharmacy and start heading for the border, okay, then you should stop them.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can stop them.
Yeah.
And you have positive proof. You got the drone, you got the pictures. They purchased it. And the person at the pharmacy, they're not in any trouble. They sold it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't bring it into here.
Right.
You can stay over there and take it, but you can't bring it into here. You can't bring no more than one. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need a higher level of recognition, a higher level of security, and more vigilance on keeping that stuff out of here and keeping it out of minors' hands. At the school,
right,
we need a higher level of how they're doing things. And also, I'm a believer that just like when you have parades, the police gets on the television and they say, look, if you see anything funny, go tell somebody.
Right.
Don't hold back.
Yeah.
And it needs to be said at schools, if you see anything funny, go tell somebody.
Right.
Because kids help kids. The kids, you know who's high.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's selling this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, just as we had when you and I went to school, there were certain things. You knew who pulled their dress up in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and tied it up so that they could have on a short mini skirt. You know what's going on.
Right. They're not ignorant to it. It's right in front of you.
Right. And mm-hmm. you knew when a girl was in trouble. Everybody in the school knew, but teachers don't know.
Right.
So these are things that we need to and make it easier for them. There should be a box that they can just say, anything that you might have to say, you can just put it in the box so that no matter who's going up there, a person can't say, well, I saw you put it in there, but you can say anything and put it in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have an easier way of being able to say what they need to say. Because one of the things that kids don't do is, of course, peer pressure, and they're afraid. And we're already talking about bullies. The bully is the one selling the stuff.
Right. I really think there's still lack of education, not only the patient's part, on the young people's part. There's still just not. In the old days, there used to be a time, I know, when we were being raised, there was a lot of education, especially on the drugs.
Well, I think it was a lot of education, but I think it was a lot of under-education, because in my time, it was a bunch of people took LSD, and they were smart folks. But there were certain things that happened in a household because we're living in a society which has the breakdown of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And there ain't no family. So they're doing these things for love, for security, for all of the things they should be getting from a family.
Right.
And in my time, in your time,
mm-hmm.
you could have had, I don't care, you could have had gold in a box and tried to put it down our mouth. You and I wouldn't take it because our mama said, don't take no drugs.
Right.
And that's not the society we're living in right now.
In our days, they used to show those horror movies, too. You take this, and this is what it's going to lead to. They took all
mm-hmm.
that out of us. But I'll tell you, it was a whole group of us. It scared the hell out of us. We wouldn't touch nothing. But they took, and the thought was, well, just because they start on a little.
started off with the light stuff and went on to the heavier stuff, just the way those movies showed. I remember it seemed so horrible. None of us would touch any horrible movies. So I guess it would say scare some of us straight. Okay, Selena, we got about 19 more minutes left, and you have quite a few things that you need to mention to the public. And those that are still listening, get your pencils or pen and paper. And Selena's going to tell you some of the other things that she is involved in that may either help your organization or someone else's, or may help somebody. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, we always talk about the personal organization, which is Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is a food bank and currently the second largest food bank in Southern California. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway. Our primary objective is period, end hunger. And we participate with the County of Los Angeles a bunch of others that have the same mindset. One of the organizations that I like to talk about, first of all, is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is basically a free summer camp for military children, with priority given to a wounded, disabled, or fallen military family. You can find out about Camp Corral by going to www.corral.org, or please call area code 855-605-1267. Again, you can contact Camp Corral at www.campcorral.org at area code 855-605-1267. Another organization we'd like to talk about is called Your Life, Your Voice.org. And the primary thing that they do over there is they try to encourage, especially youngsters and teenagers that have so-called behavioral problems, et cetera, and they create partnerships and programs. Also, at their website, they have various different downloads that can help a parent in being able to deal with these problems. And they do steering to steer you to various organizations which can help you with that problem so that we can have much better young men and young women and begin to end some of these tragedies that we're having with young people today. Another organization I'd like to talk about is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach is located in Highland, California, and primarily what they deal with is they deal with parolees and various different types of men that have problems with housing. And it is run by Mr. Keith Coley, and he can be reached at area code 909-358-7391. If you have something that you could be able to help with, a donation, they take cars. There are lots and lots of things that they can use, such as fishing rods, boats, a number of different things to help these young men to be able to do something and become productive citizens. My next organization, it has a lovely name, I just love this. It's called Sick of Being Sick and Tired. It's run by Kathy Braxton. And basically, they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California, and they're there every fourth Saturday of every month. And basically what they try to do is they try to help people with drug addiction, homelessness. These are two great people, also her husband, Mr. Braxton, who is a pastor. They often have a person there, and they're doing hamburgers, and they hand out food. So if you're one of the individuals and you're in that area and you need some help, again, they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. And the phone number to contact Kathy Braxton is area code 562-313-0041. Another great organization, because I'm constantly, we want to be able to help those that have served the United States, and we thank you for your service. And if you happen to know anybody that should need some help, please contact this organization, and she can either steer you to where you need to go or assist you with problems. And the primary thing that this organization does is they take care of these veterans. They house them. They place them in various different places. They find things for them to do. And the name of this organization is called VeteranCareSolutions.org. And it is run by LaShonda Jones. And you can reach LaShonda at area code 909-329-8288. They do some wonderful stuff over there. In terms of creating, in also in the other states, creating beds and places for them to live at, places for them to work. Really a tremendous outfit. Also, we have a another organization, if you have some type of musical talent, if you're a youngster and you'd like to participate in anything from a fashion show to a talent show, please contact Deborah Lindsay at area code 951-682-4782. And again, that number is area code 951-682-4782. And this is for if you're a teenager or you're an older person. They do some fabulous shows, whether you sing, you dance, whatever it is. They do some wonderful stuff, and they help you with being able to polish your talent. And assist you with where you need to go. It's a really unique outfit that can really help you if you have a talent. The next organization that we want to talk about is called One.org. And primarily, this organization would be after, of course, Paulette's Heart. They want to stop the spread of HIV.
Yes.
And, again, the name of the organization is One.org. And their primary mission is to be sure that no child is born with HIV. Wonderful organization. Anything you want to know about them, go to that website, and you'll be able to see the kinds of things that they are doing. Just some fabulous outfits. As usual, what I always do is I have a closing statement, but I'm not exactly sure that we're ready to close yet. How much more time do we have, Paulette?
You have approximately 10 minutes, but if you want to close it sooner, we can.
Okay.
We can still, because you've gotten, I think, the main organizations you wanted to highlight for people that can reach the public.
Well, I'll give them two more.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, you can contact the 777 Warehouse, and they give out food. They have a pancake breakfast. They give out shoes, clothes. They help young individuals with training. They're hooked up to what we call the workforce, where these individuals can be paid while they're being trained. Please contact Mr. Willie Walker at area code 909-567-5824. That will be our last organization. Which
well, you know
talk
what?
About
you gave information on Sowing Seeds for Life. You didn't give them the telephone number.
Go ahead. You can give it to them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The one that, you correct me if I'm
okay,
saying it wrong. 909. This is for Sowing Seeds for Life. 909-392-5777. Now, I know there's a new number, but I don't have that in my memory right now.
Yeah, well, there's a new number that they can use. I have that one. That one is area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. And you can ask for Fran Robinson.
Okay. You've been listening to Selena Lindsay and Paulette Young as your host. We're on every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time, where we talk about the things that affect everyone's lives. Not everyone's lives, but it could be your loved one. And today we spoke on the opioids. Hope you understand that it does kill. And right now, throughout the whole United States, we are at epidemic. 90 people lose their lives a day from overdose or misuse. And some of it could be done on purpose or maybe done on purpose, but also there's not enough people understanding when they take something and you take over the amount that it can kill you. So right now we know for a fact that some people are addicted to it. Physicians are being monitored, I think, a lot better than they were at one time. And I know we didn't mention this, Selena, but what about the pharmacist? He's the one that's got to dispense this stuff. Shouldn't there be a some kind of alert on his part? How much he's dispensing, especially when he sees that certain things that are addicting is being ordered over and over and over again. There needs to be, I think, a better screening system, better information, or sending the doctors an alert. Are you aware that you've been prescribing this opioid?
Well, I think all of the above should be done, and also too, you have to point the finger at who's paying for it. And I think insurance companies should tighten up the line, because if nobody's going to put their money out for an opioid, guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
The whole game is all about money. The insurance company frowns up and say, we don't really like paying for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Then guess what the physician automatically does? Find something else in the drugstore.
That is so true. Yeah, because if the insurance won't pay for it, then they're not going to prescribe it.
The same thing that happens to people that have medical problems. When your HMO says, we don't pay for that, what do? You find out you don't need that operation that bad.
Yeah. That's true.
You know,
or the person may end up suffering, needless suffering, because they won't pay for it.
Well, they need to have a scrutiny as to what they pay for and what they will, and how long they will pay for it. So even if you do get a prescription, you understand after 30 days you won't be getting no more.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and close?
Okay, well, we're going to close out. And primarily, I always use this statement. We are pro-poor, interacting with the poor in a way that provides choice and dignity. We have a belief in fishing rods rather than fish, and we have a belief in implementing sustainable environmental practices. I believe that changing behaviors will cause a change that will that contributes to poverty. My name is Delina Ann Lindsay, and we thank you for listening to our broadcast tonight, and we look forward that you will visit with us again with our next broadcast. Good night.
Okay. Good night. We'll see you next Monday. Bye.